Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hey, Samara, welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. I'm so excited to see you.
I am so excited to chat with you. So tell us what you've been up to. Tell us a little bit about yourself, actually.
Oh, wow. So if you can't tell from the accent, I'm an Aussie. I'm desperate to get to the States, though. I'm really hoping that I can get to the historical romance readers retreat probably in 2023 is my goal, because I can't wait to come over there and meet everybody. I write historical romance. I've had two books published with Forever, How to Survive a Scandal and How to Deceive a Duke. And I'm just really loving it. I'm loving the whole author vibe. I'm loving talking to readers. I love getting emails. It's been a very wild couple of years, but it's been fabulous.
I love this. So first of all, tell me about the historical romance reader retreat, because I need to know about this. I did not know.
Oh, yes. So Bethany Bennett, who is another Forever author, told me about it. Basically, it's once a year. It's in September. And apparently it's like 3 days of historical romance readers getting together and doing some like craft, not necessarily crafty, but like like the Regency dancing and having Regency high tea and talking about their Regency books. And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to get to this at some point. It's one of the few, like, I love Australia. I do love Australia, but being so far away from all that fun is hard sometimes.
Oh my gosh, I need to go to this.
I will find a link. I'll find a link and then you can put it in like your show notes or on.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know if I feel comfortable in 2022, but maybe 2023 when we're in endemic and not just pandemic, where we move to the next level of the endemic, maybe.
That would be nice, yeah.
So I love this. So let's chat about your book series. So you have two books out. The last one is How to Deceive a Duke, but the first one is How to Survive a Scandal. Tell us a little bit of pitch, what it's all about, like why should a reader pick up?
Oh, so How to Survive a Scandal, it's my first book, so obviously I really love that one. I really wanted to write something that was a little bit different to, you know, quite often I've read a lot of the poor girl goes into high society, so it's fish out of water, but you know the country girl becomes part like a lady, and I really wanted to do something different. So I put so Lady Amelia she was born to be married to a duke. You know, she was raised, she's an earl's daughter, she was raised, you know, the engagement was organized when she was very young, and she's a bit of a snob, to be honest. She's a bit of a snob, and she's used to, you know, being waited on and being part of society, and then she finds herself in a situation that's totally not her fault, but she ends up being forced to marry like just a mere mister, like, you know, the duke breaks things off and she's kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere, and she's handed a scrubbing brush and gone, okay, cool, it's your turn to do the dishes. She's just like, what, are you serious? So it's got very overboard vibes, if you've ever seen Overboard, the Goldie Hawn version. So yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a lot of fun. And then How to Deceive a Duke is the duke that ditched her at the beginning of book one. He's the hero of book two, and I really love the heroine. I used to be a physics teacher, so I'm really like, women in STEM is really important to me, because, you know, physics, like past school, has only about 26% of the workforce is female. And so I was always trying to encourage young women to go into science. So it was really important to me to have a female engineer in the Regency period. And she's this firebrand, this political Scotswoman who doesn't like to be told what to do, especially not by a duke, which is where a lot of their problems come in.
I love this. And I have to tell you, I love historical romance. And I love the idea this is an Overboard remake, you know, reimagining. Like, I think you just picked the right movie. Like, there's something to be said about movies like from the 80s that are like thinking about it in Regency time. Like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. A fish out of water. Like, now it's a thing.
It was really good because I was partway through my first draft when my mother-in-law mentioned it. She's like, oh, your book sounds a lot like this movie. And I watched it. I'm like, yes. Yes, it does. And it was really funny because when I was doing my first lot of sort of PR Facebook mm-hmm. sort of takeovers when that released, there were so many people in reviews going, oh, this has total Overboard vibes. And I'm like, I can't believe so many people know about this 1980s movie. And then it turns out that it actually was remade like 2 years earlier. And that's why everybody knows about it.
I did not watch a remake. I watched the 80s version growing up. My mom loved Goldie Hawn and loved this movie so much. So we grew up watching it like multiple times. Like, but I think also I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So those were the movies
I grew up watching. I mean, and Goldie Hawn, how can Goldie Hawn not be your favorite? Oh my goodness, I love her.
Yes, and Kurt Russell, they're still together 40 years later. So
true romance.
It's true romance. So I love this. So chatting about historical romance, what was it? Did you were you a historical romance reader? Like, what led you to start writing?
Oh yes. Oh yes. So I picked up my first historical romance at it was a Lifeline Book Festival in September of 2001, which I know is very specific, mm-hmm. but I actually remember it because I was actually in a mental hospital at the time, and my mother had come up and I had day leave, and she had taken me to this book festival, and I picked up Julia Quinn's The Viscount Who Loved Me, along with another one, a Virginia Henley novel. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally, I get back to the hospital that night and I'm reading, and I'm in my little room, not padded walls, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you know, pretty rare. And I was falling off the bed laughing. Like, I was just like, this is the funniest thing I think I have ever read. And it was such an escape for me. And, you know, and it just like it just started. I go for every Julia Quinn novel I could get. And then I moved on to Lisa Claypass, and then I moved on to Stephanie Lawrence, and, you know, and it was just, you know, really, it took quite a while for me to be well, and historical romance got me through those incredibly difficult years. Like, I can't tell you. And then a couple of years ago, Julia Quinn came to Australia, and I got to meet her, and I was that crazy person that's literally sitting there just crying as we were meeting, and I'm just like, you have no idea how important you were to me. Like, you were never going to know what you did for me. It's just crazy. So I think that you know, I just love the genre. I just love it. I will always love it. And so yeah, so now I'm sort of writing it, and if I can just do for one person what, you know, some of these authors have done for me, then that would be amazing.
I love this. And so, favorite time period, is it Regency or any other time period?
Yes. Yes, I would say Regency is my favorite time period. Sometimes I think about, I really like technology. So like the Industrial Revolution was so interesting for me that I kind of feel like I enjoy sort of writing that period right after the Regency, but I love to read the Regency most.
I have a special point towards Regency. There's something to be said about that time period that's like Pride and Prejudice, very Jane Austen, very like this 10 year period that just takes you to the next level, and then Victorian, you know, all the different technologies, all the different women's rights, all the different things that happen, and that the Victorian era is like so long, there's like so now. So yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What I really love about both of those periods, and why I think that I enjoy historical, like I actually don't read a lot of contemporary romance. I'll read a couple, you know, particularly if I know the author, I'll read their books. But I think why I love historical romance so much is it is very much a fantasy. You know, it's very much going into a completely different world. And I think, you know, the other genre that I read quite a lot of is YA fantasy. Like, give me Sarah J. Maas any day of the week. Yes. Like, any day. Like I remember after I read not A Court of Thorns and Roses, the other one. I can never remember.
As a City or Throne of Glass. There's like
Throne of Glass. There we go. Oh. Throne of Glass, yes. And I remember after, like, firstly, I read all of those, and then I got to the end of one book. And it's like a massive cliffhanger, like the most giant. You know which one I'm talking about. Right. And then I'm on a plane and I start reading in Australia, the covers were all white except for this one, which was blue, which I think was The Tower of Dawn.
The Tower of Dawn. That's okay. Yep. That has nothing to do with the cliffhanger.
No, it doesn't.
That's the reason why I have not read it. I'm stuck in the cliffhanger because I refuse to read this massive book that was supposed to be a novella. It was supposed to be a novella.
Was it?
A massive book that has nothing to do with the cliffhanger. And I'm like, I'm literally stuck. And everyone's like, I can't read it. Blah, blah. You tell me I need to read it. I know. But
look, I had this massive, and then I'm starting to read this book and I'm about a chapter into it. And I'm like, hang on, this isn't finishing the cliffhanger. Like, what is going on? And I was literally on a plane and the plane was starting to take off. And I had to know whether or not the last book was out because I had been told that Tower of Dawn was the last book. And I'm like, and so I turn my phone back off flight mode and I'm trying to like frantically Google before we get out of, you know, cell reception. And I'm like, the last book isn't out yet. I've still got another month before the last book is out. Like, what is going on? But sorry, I diverge. But I think my point is that, like, I really love YA fantasy. And I think it's for the same reasons that I love historical romance, because it's just, it's total escapism. It's, you know, I don't bring any of the problems of my current world into there.
I think that's a great parallel. But now I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it makes total sense. Because it's like the problems in the historical time are different, that, you know, the way they do things are different than the way we do things now. And things that I'm more forgiving in historical romance, I'm not as forgiving in contemporary. Like, yes. Marriage to Convenience is a good example. Why were you going to get married to someone, you know, like you're putting together like health insurance? You know, the reasons are inheritance, health insurance. Like, there's a few things, but like in historical, it's like, oh my gosh, I kissed you, ruined reputation. We got to marry, you know.
Yeah. And I actually think that the pacing is relatively similar between YA fantasy and historical romance as well. They're generally really quick, fast reads that I just like binge read, as opposed to epic fantasy, which I will still read. I will still like The Wheel of Time was probably like the biggest, most intense reading experience of my entire life. But that tends to be slower, whereas I think YA fantasy and historical romance have a similar kind of, you move through it. It's like page after page after page. So,
So are you reading Crescent City and the next book that comes out next week? Is that the plan? Or
I actually have not read Crescent City. I picked it up the week that it came out. For some reason I haven't gotten past the first chapter, and I don't think that's anything to do with the book. I think it's literally just to do with 2021. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trouble reading last mm-hmm. year, and the only, you know, I only read a hand there were only a handful of books that I managed to get through the whole book. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was the quality of the writing at all. I think it was just my brain wasn't doing it. I ended up going back and rereading, so I couldn't read anything new, but I could reread my old favorites. So, you know, I redid The Court of Thorns and Roses because obviously the last Nesta's book came out. So I haven't read Crescent City, and I actually
go ahead.
I actually think another problem is it's so big. I bought the hard, like the big hardcover, and it's really heavy. And I kind of feel like maybe I should get the ebook so that I can read on my Kindle.
Get the ebook. Yeah, I'm halfway through Present City. It's just so long. Like, that's my issue. It's like, it's a massive book and there's like all these different things. It's good. It's just like a massive book that is like, part of me, I'm so used to with romance to read, like finish in a day and just like do this. And like, for some reason, this one is like, so it took me a while. And so I ended up going back to, so 2021 was a shed year like any other person. So I ended up going back to summer class and I'm stuck in the same place. I'm stuck in Empire of Dawn. Like, I'm like, there's something to be said. I'm like, do I push through this and finish it off or not finish it off? You know, but I did read the novel.
I think that you just need to push through it. It's actually quite a good book. The only problem is the fact that it's not solving the cliffhanger of the book before. So I can totally understand, but it's kind of, the book itself is really quite good. And then the last book of the series is amazing. So I'm afraid that that's one of the ones you're just going to have to push through. Yeah. But I was like that with The Wheel of Time. You know, the first four or five books were amazing. And these things, The Wheel of Time is big, like an IKEA Billy bookshelf wide big. I know, because it's up there. And the first four or five books, like I just inhaled them. They were so good. And then the next four or five books were really hard. And I just had my friend going, because he died. Robert Jordan died before he finished the series. And then Brandon Sanderson came along and finished it. Like, Robert Jordan knew he was dying, and so he passed his story on to Brandon Sanderson, who finished it. And I had heard from a friend, like, if you can just push through to the last three books, they're really amazing. And so it was hard, because you had to push through like four or five really big books, but it was totally worth it. But now there's a TV series, so you might as well just watch that.
Yeah, thank you for reading therapy.
Yeah.
So do you have any books to recommend other than what we talked about? Sarah J. Maas, Julia Quinn, Lisa Kleypas, Stephanie Lawrence. Mm. Massive series to binge on, where they're great. So
I mean, she's my friend, but also her book is amazing. West End Earl by Bethany Bennett was probably the best book I read last year. And I loved it so much because Cal, the hero, is just so kind. Like, he's so kind. He's just a really good dude. He's like just really sweet, and he loves the heroine, and he loves her unconditionally, and he does right from the beginning, and he's not too damaged, or like, I really enjoyed him as a hero. It was exactly what I needed last year. So definitely West End Earl by Bethany Bennett. I'm going to also put in a plug for Christina Britton's series, which has just been extended, which is great news. There's another three books coming. So that was really good. The other thing that I read last year that I really enjoyed, hang on, I'm turning around and I'm having a look at... I think the other one, so like, I'm literally just looking at my bookshelf and looking at all the books that I bought you last year that I didn't buy, and I'm trying to think of what did I actually read and really enjoy. I mean, would you believe I didn't read the Sarah McLean Bare Knuckle Bastard series until last year? And then
last year too. It's so good.
Yeah, and I'm like, what am I doing with my time? How did I not read this before? And I think what I really loved about that series was, I mean, besides the fact that all the characters are amazing, it was taking a villain and turning it into the hero. And I love that kind of character arc. I'm just down for it any day of the week, which actually reminds me of the first series I saw that did that really well. It's another fantasy series. Now I'm thinking, I wasn't planning on talking about this book, but it was really good. It's a female author, The Troy Game. the Troy game by, anyway, the basic concept is there's this group of people. The first book is during Troy, the Battle of Troy. And so they kind of have magical powers and they're having this battle, and the villain, and one of the villains is a Minotaur. And then right at the end, one of the villain dies, but curses all of them to come back again. And so every book in each series is them all being reborn into another time period and waging the same battle, mm-hmm. and until the battle itself can resolve. So Druid's Game was the next one, and it was set in England. And then the final book was set in World War II. And the character arcs over that were phenomenal. So the absolute villain in the first book, it becomes the absolute hero in the last. And that was the first time I had seen that arc done over a series. And it was just amazing. Okay, my bookshelf is color-coded. And I know that one of them was purple. So let me just, here we go. Sarah Douglas. And the Druid's sword was purple. And that's how, mm-hmm. I could find the book. So the Troy game, totally get on it. It's really good.
Oh my gosh.
If you can get it.
Yeah, that sounds so good. That one is like,
I know.
Just thinking about it, like setting in different time periods, you know, and like the research it must take to just think about the time period and the world building and the stuff. Yeah, yeah. You know?
It was really exceptional. And so I don't know if you'll be able to get, oh, she was an Australian author. I didn't realize that. I don't know if you'll be able to, she's got so many books out. But this was first published in 2006. So whether or not you can still get the paperbacks, I don't know.
Ah, these are great recommendations. I love chatting books with you.
There's nothing better than chatting books, is there?
I know, and it's someone who gets it, someone who gets like the same thing about fantasy and historical, just chefs it. So
I probably should have plugged more of my own genre there, haven't I? I'm a historical romance author, but yeah. I'm just going to talk fantasy.
You're fine, I love it. So tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, so my website is samaraparish.com, and if you can sign up for my newsletter there, and you get a free novelette, which is really fun. I love that heroine. I'm hoping to one day turn her into an entire book. Or you can get me, I'm Samara Parish everywhere. So twitter.com/Samara Parish, facebook.com/Samara Parish, goodreads.com/Samara Parish. I got really lucky and managed to get my name everywhere. So even TikTok, I've done one TikTok, so don't go there expecting lots, but I'm going to be better at that this year.
It is all good. So thank you, Samara, for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I've had such a lovely time.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libra FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libra FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libra FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libra FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibraFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.